Today's daf is Yuma Daf Yotess. We left off. We finished the mission yesterday in Yuches and Beis, so right at the top of Daf Yotess Amud Aleph. The entire Amud Aleph pretty much goes through the placement of the different rooms and the gates in the Beis HaMikdash to describe where the Kohen Gadol is being brought, because it says in the Mishnah that the Ziknei Bezin gave him to the Ziknei Kohuna and they brought him to the Beis Avtinas. So that leads into a whole discussion about what the Beis Avtinas was and what all the other Lishchos, all the other little chambers that were there were, and where everything was and where he would go from one place to another. So that's pretty much the entire Amud Aleph. At the very bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara raises the question, since they use the term when they talk to the Kohen Gadol, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Anu Shluchei Bezdin, Va'ata Shluchenu, they use the term that Kohen Gadol is their Shliach, so the Gemara raises the question, is the Kohen Gadol Shluchei Didan, or is he Shluchei Derachmana? Is he the Shliach of Klal Yisrael, or is he the Shliach of the Ribbono Shlom? We'll have to see the Mainaf Gemina, whether he's the Shliach of Klal Yisrael, the Shliach of the Ribbono Shlom. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to tell the story of a Tztuki, who did the Ketores in the Tztuki way of doing the Ketores, because they had a different way of doing things, and how he was swiftly punished for doing so. Then the Gemara is going to get into a discussion of using sign language during Kriya Shema, of communicating, non-verbal communication in the middle of Kriya Shema. It's an odd way that we get into that discussion. It's really got nothing to do with Maseches Yuma. And right before the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to have four drashos from the Pasuk V'dibarta Bam. Once we're talking about Kriya Shema, four drashos from the Pasuk V'dibarta Bam. And then at the end of the daf, the Mishnah and the Gemara at the end of the daf discusses how they would keep the Kohen Gadol awake all night. Since he couldn't fall asleep, they had to keep him awake, so they had to keep entertaining him. So it discusses how exactly they did that. So again, we are holding on the top of Daf Yotess Amud Aleph. The Mishnah had said that the Ziknei Bezin hand him over to the Ziknei Kohuna, and they bring him to the Beis Avtinas, and Hishbi'u V'niftru V'alchulem. They make him take a Shavua, and then they go on their way. So says the Gemara, Tana L'lamdu Chafina. Why do they give him over to the Ziknei Kohuna? What do the Ziknei Kohuna need to do with him? So why did they bring him to the Beis Avtinas? What's doing in the Beis Avtinas that he needs to be in the Beis Avtinas? To teach him Chafina, which is a certain type of avoda with the Ketores, which is a challenging type of avoda. So they had to bring him there to teach him this Chafina. Rashi says, Shoyimolichin also lelishchas Beis Avtinas kidei lelamdo Chafina kiven sheshama isa Ketores Metsuya, because that's where the Ketores was. So that's why they would bring him there to teach him the Ketores. That's where the Ketores was available. The Sfasemis explains, sounds from Rashi, that they would teach him the Mitzvahs Chafina using the actual Ketores. And that's why they had to bring him to the Beis Avtinas, because they were actually using the Ketores. Sfasemis says it's a little bit hard to imagine that they would risk losing some of the Ketores by teaching him, because some of it's going to fall. Part of it is how to hold it and how to get to handfuls of Ketores while you're holding the shovel and getting it all right. So the first few times you're dropping it all over the place, Mustama. So he's going to be losing Ketores as he's practicing, as he's trying. So he says it can't be that they did it with Ketores that was Ru'uyla HaKetora, because certainly some of the Ketores gets lost. Rather, it must be with the other Sammanim that were not yet complete. They were used, all the ingredients for the Ketores was in the Beis Avtinas, so they had to use some of the ingredients of the Ketores, but in no way that they would use Ketores that was actually Ru'uy LaHaKetora. But that's why they brought him there. Amar Rav Papa, Shtei Lishchos Hayu L'Kohen Gadol, Achas Lishchos Parhedrin, V'Achas Lishchos Beis Avtinas. The Kohen Gadol had two Lishchos. One was the Lishchos Parhedrin, and one was the Lishchos Beis Avtinas. The Lishchos is like a small room. So he had not necessarily small. It's a room. Some of them, size is relative, you know. So we have, for instance, Lishchos Hagaz, we're going to learn about the entire Sanhedrin sat there. So it couldn't have been that small. So, but anyway, there are these two lishchos. So Rashi, the lishchos parhedrin was for the Kohen Gadol to sleep in. That was the purpose of the lishchos parhedrin. That's where he would stay. Tosos earlier on Daf Ches Amud Beis had said that the lishchos parhedrin could not have been opened up into the Kodesh, because if it was psucha lekodesh, it would have a din of Kodesh, and the Kohen Gadol wouldn't be able to live there for 7 days, because any yeshiva ba'azara el malchus based of bildad, if it was psucha lekodesh, it would have the status of the Azara. You're not allowed to sit in the Azara unless you're from the Malchus Beis David. Certainly you're not allowed to sleep in the Azara. Tahara. So it can't be that it was opened up into the Kodesh. However, Tosfos quotes the Yesh Mefarshim that it was Psucha LeKodesh, and even though L'chora, anything that's opened up into the Kodesh is in of Kodesh, that's only in regards to the fact that they're Roy L'Achilus Kodesh Kodeshim. But L'Gabi Yeshiva Ba'Zara, it has a din of Chol, meaning this rule that anything that's opened up into the Kodesh is considered Kodesh, means that it's considered Kodesh, so you're allowed to eat Kodesh Kodeshim there because it's considered that you're still in the Azara. But it doesn't mean that the place for all its dinim is considered Kodesh, it's still considered Chol regarding Yeshiva Ba'Azara. The Mary Korka says that since they originally built it Al Das, that the Kohen Gadol should be able to live there, it never had the Kedushas Hazara. Normally things that are opened up at the Hazara have Kedushas Hazara, but this was made purposely with the intent that it should not get the Kedushas Hazara. So that's the Lishchus Parhedrin. So the Kohen Gadol, these two Lishchus Parhedrin, and Va'achas Lishchus Pesavtinas. Achas Betzafon, Va'achas Bedorom, one in the north, one in the south. Achas Betzafon, one in the north, Ditnan, because the Mishnah says in Meseches Midos, in the fifth parak of Midos, Vav Lishchos Hayu Ba'Azara, Gimel B'Safon V'Gimel B'Darom. There were six Lishchos in the Azara, three in the north, three in the south. She B'Darom, the ones in the south, were Lishchos HaMelech, Lishchos HaParva, and Lishchos HaMadichin. What did these Lishchos do? So Lishchos HaMelech, Sheshama Yinosin Melech LeKarban. The Lishchos HaMelech is a place where they would keep the salt for the Karbanos. Lishchos HaParva, the Lishchos HaParva, Sheshama Yu Molchin Oros Kachim. That's where they would actually do the malicha on the hides of the different karbanos. Val gaga haisa beis hatvila l'kohen gadol b'yom ha-kippurim. And on the roof of that lishcha, of this lishcha saparva, there was the beis hatvila for the kohen gadol, the mikvah for the kohen gadol to go to on Yom Kippur. Lishcha samadichin, shama yimadichin kirvei kachim. And the lishcha samadichim is where they would rinse off the insides of karbanos. Umisham mesiva olo l'gag beis haparva. And out of that lishcha, there was like a windy staircase that went up to the Gag Beis HaParva. That's the way they reached the Gag Beis HaParva. So those are the three Lishchos that were in the south. Tosfos raises the question, Sham Madichin Kirvei Kodeshim, we said they would, that's where, in this Lishcha, is where they would rinse off, they would clean off the parts of the Karban. Frak Tosfos, Hadar Minin Le'eldu Shulchanos Hayu Ba'Azara La'diach Alein HaKodeshim. U'l'tziv Behedi B'Yecheskel, there was a special spot in the Azara where they had tables upon which they would rinse off and they would clean off the Karbanos. So why did they need a Lishcha to do this? They had tables in the Azara where they would do this. So Tos says Yeshlamu Debasar Kachim Madichin Al Shulchanos Aval Kirvei Kachim Sheish Ben Paris Umiisi Madichin Al Sam Belishchas Madichin. That there's a difference between the Basar Kachim and the Kirvei Kachim. The Basar Kachim they would clean off on the Shulchanos, but the other insides of the animal they would clean off in the Lishchas Beis Madichin. So there were two different places, two different spots of rinsing of the Karbanos. Now the Gemara later on in Daf Lamed Hey is going to say that this parva is amgusha. So what's amgusha? It's a mechashev. It's a name, and Rashi says the mechashev whose name was Parva is the one that built this lishchas beis haparva. We refer to the lishchas beis haparva. There was someone who did kishuf, who built the Lishchas Beis HaParva. That's how Rashi says later on. The Rush says he was a Jew, because if he was a guy, they would never allow him to be involved in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But the Meiri raises the question, how can we call a Lishcha after, in the Beis HaMikdash, after someone who is so not na'im, so distasteful to call a Lishcha in the Beis HaMikdash, after someone who was Osek in Kishuv? And so the Meiri says, must be that he was Chozer B'Tshuva, and so that's why we do call it after him, because he was Chozer B'Tshuva. Bar Tanura says, no, he built this Lishcha Al Yedei Kishuv. So that's even worse, that he built a Lishcha in the Beis HaMikdash using Kishuv. Tos Yantar says, can't be. How could it be that we would leave it built in the Beis HaMikdash and we would allow a portion of the Beis HaMikdash to remain there when it was built Al Yedei Kishuv? So the Tiferes Yisrael says, no, it doesn't mean that it was built Al Yedei Kishuv. What it means to say is that this was quite a trick. He had to run water pipes up to the roof where the Beis HaTefillah was. How are you going to do that? How is he going to get water up there? So that required an umnus gedola umafla'a, says the Tiferes Yisrael, to get the pipes to go through the thickness of the wall of the lishcha up to the rooftop. So he says that's why they called it like a mechashef, meaning it was like it was magic, that he was a magical architect, that he was able to pull this off. So that's what it means, not that he was actually involved in kishuv. Also, they were said shama yimolchin oros kachim. The Achronim raised the question: How are you allowed to do malicha on the oros of kachim with melech that's hegdish? The oros go to the kohanim. Once it goes to the kohanim, it no longer is kodesh. It no longer has the kedusha of a karban. It's chul and gemurim. They could do whatever they want with it. They can make shoes out of it. They can make jackets. It's totally chulin. So the Merom Yisodin and Siv explains that this is after the kohanim were makdish the oros l'gavoa. Then we would treat the hides with this salt, because the Gemara in Pesachim says that they had such a takana and Dafnun Zayin Amud Aleph that they were masakin that the kohanim should be makdish the oros l'shamayim. So once they made that takana, and then the kohanim would actually be makdish the oros l'shamayim, so then they would use the salt to treat the oros kachim. Okay, so that's all the ones in the south. Gimel Shabbat Safon, the three in the north are actually. There's also interesting. It seems Tosfos must have had a different girsa than us, because when it lists the three in the south, so how did we say? We said there was the lishchas hamelech, lishchas haparva, lishchas hamedichin, and then we explained each one. So we started explaining what the lishchas hamelech was, then the lishchas haparva, then the lishchas hamedichin, directly in order. Tosfos raises the question: Vim tamer maishna dechitanalu bereisha nakal lishchas hamelech, lishchas beis haparva, lishchas hamedichin, v'chi mefarish lu mefarish lishchas. He says, why is it that when we originally list it, we list it in the order that we do, and then when we start describing them, we switch the order? So Tosmos had a different gear, so that actually switches the order and describes the Lishchas HaMadichin before the Lishchas HaParva. So Tosmos says, and Tosmos says there's a reason for it. There's a reason to describe the Lishchas HaMadichin before the Lishchas HaParva, because you have Mefarish Lishchas HaParva Bereisha, Hechi Lisni Ve'al Gaga HaYakoin Tovel. If we would say Lishchas HaParva, how could we just say, oh, and on the roof of the Lishchas Beis HaParva, that's where the Kohen would be Tovel? We still haven't described how there was ever access to the roof. The only way that there's access to the roof is through the windy staircase that comes out of the side of the Lishchas HaMadichin. Pictures would be very helpful, but if you look at a picture, it's very clear. Lishchas HaMadichin was off to the side, and there was a windy staircase that came out of the side wall. Lishchas HaParva was right in the middle, so there's nothing that came out of the side. So we didn't describe the access to the rooftop. So we have to first describe the access before we could describe that there was something on the rooftop. Okay, Gimel Shabbat Safon, the three Lishchas in the north were Lishchas Ha'etz, Lishchas Hagola, Lishchas Hagazes. Lishchas Ha'etz, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Shechachti Ma'ayis HaMeshameshes. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, I don't know what the Lishchas Ha'etz was used for. I forgot what they would do with the Lishchas Ha'etz. Abishol Amar, Lishchas Kohen Gadol Ha'isa Achorei Shtehen, that the Lishchas Kohen Gadol is behind the Lishchas Hagola and the Lishchas Hagazis, the Gag Shloshtan Shava, and the rooftop was the same height for all three of them. Lishchas Hagola, what did they do with the Lishchas Hagola? Shama Yabora Golova Gugal Nasanalav Umishama speaking Mayim Lakala Azara. That's where they had a big bar that they would use to have the water supply for the entire Azara. Lishchas Hagazis, Shama Hayasan Hedrin Shal Yisrael Yosheves Vidanes Akwanin. That's where the Sanhedrin would sit, and they would judge the Kohanim. Not only judge the Kohanim, that's where the Sanhedrin would sit. So they would sit Khatzi Goranagula, they would sit in a semicircle in the Lishchas HaGazis. That was the makom of the Sanhedrin. Lishchas HaGazis was Khatzi Bekodesh, Khatzi Nat. But anyway, so one of the things they would judge is the Kohanim. And therefore, the Gemara describes what happens when a Kohen was judged unfavorably. Omisha Nimtsabo Psul. If someone was found to have a Psul after the Sanhedrin looked into his Yichus or looked into his qualifications, Hayalovish Chorim, he would wear black clothing and he would go out dejected because he was puzzled by the Sanhedrin. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that in both kinyanim is be'ach u'lemayla, that once you're ready, he's already doing the avoda, so we stop looking into him. But the clear implication, and it's logical to assume that before he ever does the avoda, we do look into him. That we have to research what he's all about. The Gemara Pesachim also implies that there are two levels of the of the way that we research him. We research the family lineage and see if there's any psul chalol, if he's a chalol by any chance, then he can't do the avodah. And we also research him personally, whether he's personally qualified, whether he's inappropriate or for the avodah. V'shalon nimtzu bo psul hayolovish levanim umesatif levanim v'nichnas m'shay m'shemach v'akonim. And if there was no psul, if everything was fine, so then he'd wear white and he would get to work together with all the other kohanim. So achas bedarim. So then we described the three in the north, three in the south. One thing I forgot to mention by the lishcha se'etz. So we said about the lishcha se'etz. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says shachachti. I forgot what the lishcha se'etz was all about. The Ravid says, why was it called lishcha se'etz? Because it was made out of eitz. So meaning it's one would have suggested, how could you forget what it's about? It's probably, you know, most of the lishkos are named after what they're used for. So you got some sort of major hint with eitz that it must have been used for something to do with wood. So the rabbi says, no, it wasn't made for something to do with wood. It was made out of wood. That's how the lishko was built. And he says, but there's an issue in the Torah. L'sita l'cha asheru kaleitz eitzel mizbach Hashem. You're not allowed to use wood in the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to have by the mizbach wood. So he says, that's only in the Ezra's Kohanim from Sharni Kanar and in. But this lishko was not in the Ezra's Kohanim, and therefore there was the issue of binyan shel eitz didn't apply at all. Then he says that maybe it wasn't made out of eitz. It was called lishcha se'etz because they would keep wood there sometimes. Maybe a taka was used for wood once in a while. So the Tos Yantif says it was dafka made from eitz. So it's kidei shelo tazuach daito shel kohen gadol alav, that the kohen gadol shouldn't become balgaiva, meaning that he shouldn't think that there's permanence. We want to give him a sense of when you build things permanently, you use stone. When you build things out of eitz, it doesn't have that same sense of permanence. Okay, so that was lishcha se'etz. Now achas bedarim, there's in the south as well. The tanan shivasharim hayu ba'azara. There were seven gates in the azara. Gimel b'tzafon v'gimel bedarim. Three in the north, three in the south. V'achas b'mizrach, and one in the mizrach. Shebedarim shar hadleika. The one in the south was called the shar hadleika. The three in the south rather were shar hadleika. Sheni lo shar hakarban. Second one was called shar hakarban. Rashi points out that lo yodati lama nikra shemam kach. He doesn't know why either one of these were called what they are called, why it's called shar hadleika, nor why it's called shar hakarban. Shlishi lo sharamayim. The third one was sharamayim. Sheba mizrach in the east, sharni kanar. That was called sharni kanar. V'shtei lishchos hayusham achas biyamino v'achas b'smolo. And next to sharni kanar, there were two lishchos. One to the right of sharni kanar, and one to the left of sharni kanar. Achas lishchos pinchas hamalabish, v'achas lishchos osei chavitin. One was the lishcha of Pinchas the tailor, the one who was involved in making the big day kuhuna and fitting them, and one was the lishcha of the osei chavitin. Shabbatzad the chavitei kohen gadol. That's, I guess, a daf yomi coincidence. The first night of Hanukkah, that's what the Achronim say, that when they found the one seal of the Shemen Zayizach, the one sealed with the chasima of the Kohen Gadol, that it must have, why would the Shemen Zayizach for the menorah have the chasima of the Kohen Gadol? The hadlaka is kshera bizarre. You don't even need a Kohen, let alone a Kohen Gadol, for the hadlaka of the menorah. So that's what many of the Achronim suggest, that what they must have found was some of the oil that was used for the Chavite Kohen Gadol. The Chavite Kohen Gadol is a carbon you have to bring every day. That needed the seal of the Kohen Gadol. That was the Kohen Gadol's carbon. Elamai, that didn't need to be Shemen Zayizach. So it was, but the Kohen Gadol must have been mahader to dafki use Shemen Zayizach as a hider mitzvah, and that's why, I think that's what they say from the Imre Emes, that's why we're so makbid dafka to do hider and mahadrin, mina mahadrin by Ner Chanukah, because the whole nace happened only as a result of the fact that the Kohen Gadol had this personal chumrah to be mahader in the Minchas Chavitin. So that's that counts as daf yomi coincidence that we mentioned the Chavitin today. Okay, Shabbat Safon Shar Nitzotz, in the north side was Shar Nitzotz. It was like an achsadra, like a porch, a gazebo, va'aliyah benuya lo al gabav, and there was an upper floor built on top of it. And the Kohanim would be shomer from above and the Levim from below. And inside of that was the chel. Sheni lo shara karban. And the next one over was the shara karban. Shlishi lo shar beis hamokan. And the next one was the shar beis hamokan. V'tanya. Chamish tefilos v'asorik kiddushin tovel kohen gadol mekadosh bo b'yom. There were five tefilos and ten washings of his hands and feet that the kohen gadol would do that day. V'kulan kodesh al gag beis haparva. And all of them were in the kodesh on the gag of the beis haparva, on the roof of the beis haparva. Chutz mizu shoyso b'chol al gabi shara mayim. Except for this one that was the first tevila that had nothing to do with Yom Kippur, that was done by the shara mayim. Why did it have nothing to do with Yom Kippur? So Rashi points out, Shaf kol yimel shoshana shaninu perik yimel, ein adam nichnas azara filu tar achi yitbol. No one's allowed to go into the azara until they do tevila ever. Avol tevila sabos machas yom kippur and bina makam kadosh. But the tevila for Yom Kippur, that was different. That required a makam kadosh. But for this tevila, it was not necessary to be in a makam kadosh. Ubitzal lishcha so haisa. And it was right near his lishcha. V'lo yodani I lishchas parhedrin b'tzafon, v'lishchas beis avtinas b'darom, o lishchas beis avtinas b'tzafon, v'lishchas parhedrin b'darom. We described these two lishchas of the Kohen Gadol, the lishchas parhedrin and lishchas beis avtinas, that both were shaykh to the Kohen Gadol, but we don't know which one was where. Which one was in the north, which one was in the south. U'mistavra, the lishchas parhedrin b'darom havai. And it's most mistaver that the lishchas parhedrin, which is where he would sleep, that was in the south, next to the place where you go to the mikvah on the weekday, meaning the first tevila would be done right near there. My taima, because it makes sense in terms of where he would go, that it would be mimayit his having to walk around. He'd have to walk around a little less if his base of tevila was right near where he slept. Makdim kai, he'd get up early, umesach hasraglav, and he'd go to the bathroom, v'tavil, and then he'd go to the mikvah. Rashi writes, because anyone who's Mesach as Raglav requires Tevila. So the Rashash says, what are you talking about? Even without that, you require Tevila. Rashi just got through saying, even if you're Tahar, until you do a Tevila. So over here also, before he's going to go into do the Avodah, he requires Tevila. So he says that Rashi must have been explaining why it is it that he was Mesach Dafka now, Mesach as Raglav. Why would he Dafka urinate then? So he says, since after he's Mesach Raglav, he's going to need Tevila, so he'd be Mesach Raglav before he goes to the Azar to do the avoda to get both to cover, so that one tevila will cover both requirements, because yeah, anyway he's going to need to do tevila right now in order to go into the azara. So anyway, so he'd be mesach hasragla v'tovel va'azul l'tzafon, then you go to the north v'gamar chafina, and in the north he'd go to his other lishcha where he would learn chafina v'asil beis hamikdash, then he'd go right into the beis hamikdash v'avod avoda kula yama, and he would do the avoda the whole day. Remember, for all 7 days he was working all day. For all 7 days he would do everything. And then in the evening, they would sprinkle on him from the ashes of the paraduma. So remember, they had to do that in the evening, because otherwise it would be metame him and he wouldn't be able to do the avodas. They would sprinkle him in the evening, and then he'd head back south, and he'd go back to the mikveh and he'd go to sleep, and that would be it. He'd have to go to the mikveh again because they were mazal of Efer paraduma, so he had to become tar from that. So that makes the most sense. Because if the Lishkas Parajim was in the north, how does it work then? Makdim Kaya Mesach Raglav. He'd get up early, he'd go to the bathroom. Va'azilu Darum V'tavil. Then he'd have to go all the way to the south to go to the mikvah. V'gamar Chafina. And then he'd learn the Chafina. Va'asilu Beis HaMikdash V'avad Avodah Kuliyama. Then he'd go to the Beis HaMikdash and do the Avodah all day. V'hadei Panya. And then Madu'alei. Then when it was toward evening time, they would sprinkle on him the Efer Paraduma. V'hadarazilu Darum V'tavil. Then he'd have to go back to the south and be Tovel. Ubay Me'ahadar. Then you'd have to go back to the north to go back to sleep. So there's way too much walking around. Why does he have to schlep back and forth, north to south, south to north? So that doesn't make sense that it would be set up that way. So says Gemara, Mitarach Matrachinan Leikulei Hai. Does it make sense that we'd be Matriachim so much? So that's why we wanted to say that it's most mistaver that the Lishchas Parhedrin was in the south and the Lishchas Beis Avtinas was in the north. So says the Gemara, what's the big deal about being Matriach LeKohen Gadol? Alam Alam Matrachinan Leitfei. Maybe we should be Matriachim as much as possible. Deed Stuki, who lifrosh. Maybe if he's at Stuki, that will discourage him. That will be just enough to get him to quit. and we want him to quit if he's a tzduki. Inami shalot zuach daitolav, or maybe we just don't want the Kohen Gadol to be arrogant, so we want to work him, make him work hard, make him schlep around a little bit, so he shouldn't feel like everything's coming to him. Because otherwise, why don't we put them both in the same spot? Or make just one lishcha where he could do both things. The very fact that we're making two lishchas is evidence to the idea that we're not so hesitant to make him work hard. We want to make him work hard. Someone sent me an email last night. Rabbi Isaac Rice sent me an email that if you look in the, it's a good find. I don't know how I found this. In the 16th volume of Yeshurun, that those fat books we have them somewhere here. Those big Avi's father donates them. Yeah, so in the 16th volume of Yeshurun, there's a vart from Rameir Shapiro on the one who started Daf Yomi, so Rameir Shapiro on this line of the Gemara. He says this halacha psukazu, there's a kavana amuka to this idea that we would have two lishchos, one in the north, one in the south, and we dafka would not build them right next to each other. The Gemara says there would dafka be one in the north, one in the south, and we'd be matriach the Kohen Gadol dafka to split his time between north and south, or to schlep back and forth from north and south. He says north and south represent things in Judaism. The Gemara says in Masechet Babatzra that harotza lahachkim yadrim and harotza lahashir yatzpin. If someone wants to become wealthy, you face north. If someone wants to have chachma, you face south. Because the menorah was bedarum. Another definite coincidence. The menorah was bedarum. So he says the darum, the south, represents spiritual accomplishment, spiritual well-being. The north represents material accomplishment, material well-being. Manhige Yisrael very often choose one or the other to focus on, says Rav Meir Shapiro. There are some that decide that say the wealth has nothing to do with us, money has nothing to do with us, we're spiritual people, and they focus entirely on the spirituality, the spiritual well-being of the people. Then there are others that say, well, people can't achieve spiritually if they don't have what to eat, so they focus entirely on the material well-being of people. So the Gemara is telling us they did not make these two lishchos next to each other. If someone's going to be a Kohen Gadol, and it's not easy to balance and to be matriach for a leader of Klal Yisrael, to be matriach himself, to worry about both, to worry about the spiritual accomplishment and the material accomplishments of Klal Yisrael. But we dafka do it. We dafka tell the Kohen Gadol, we're going to be matriach you because you have to worry about both. Klal Yisrael's material well-being and spiritual well-being, they have to go hand in hand, and it's something that it's a delicate balance. Sometimes if you have too much of one, the other one gets sacrificed, so it's a very delicate balance, but he has to be able to figure out how to work out that balance. It says Rameir Shapiro, Bashkafa Rishona Kishazek Kam Zen Nofel. Normally people think, when you're at first glance, that when one is doing well, when we're doing well spiritually, we're doing poorly materially, and vice versa. He says, Bechol Zos, Beskulas Manag Yisrael, Le'echad HaFeichem L'shtamish B'shneim L'tawel Es Doro. That the Manag Yisrael has to La'achid HaFeichem, to bring them together, and to use both of them in order to achieve something for his generation, in order to accomplish as a great Jewish leader. So okay, so that's a word from Meir Shapiro.
Va'omrlo, it makes sense to put the Lashkas Parhedrin in the north and the Lashkas Parseftinas and the Mikvah in the south.
That's why, so meaning because Lishkos Parhedrin is where he would live, and that
right.
would be his, yeah, very good. So right, it would be the right choice also. But that doesn't work, because, Lishkos Parhedrin.
Not under the way we just learned, but.
Right, meaning Lishkos Parhedrin, you said then it would, okay, but when it sounds like at the end of the Gemara, the Lishkos Parhedrin was in the, it was Tak in the north. No, it sounds like it was Tak in the north, because
right,
we wanted to be Matriachim.
Right.
Okay. So says the Gemara. Va'omer lo ishi kohen gadol. They would say to him, ishi kohen gadol, sir, kohen gadol. They would say, you are our shliach, and we are shluchim of we're shluchei beis din. You're our shliach and shluchei beis din, and you're a shliach of beis din. Says Gemara, lematavi tiyufta drafuna bridge of Yeshua. This seems like a tiyufta drafuna bridge of Yeshua. Dam drafuna bridge of Yeshua. Hani kari shluchei drachmana nidu. Drafuna bridge of Yeshua says the kohanim are not shluchei didan. They're shluchei drachmana. The yam are shluchei didan. Shluchiminu, because if they are our Shluchim, meaning this is a discussion the Gemara has in Maseches Nedarim, if a person is Mudar Ana from a Kohen, can he be Mishaleach his Karbanos through that Kohen? So if the Kohen is your Shliach, he's our personal Shluchim, then no. But if he's Shluchi Derachmana, so he's not working for us, he's working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it doesn't make a difference if there's a Nedar Ana. If we're going to assume that they're Shluchi Didan, is there something that we're not able to do and our shluchim are able to do? That wouldn't make sense. So the Gemara says, no, this isn't a raya. What they would tell him is not that we're shluchim, but we are mashbiya you on our own das and on the das of bezin. But it doesn't really mean to say shluchim. If you look at Tos raises a question. Tema, the parak ein bein amudar mibayulan hani kani shluchi drachman nino shluchi didaninu. The whole sugya Maseches Nedarim is a long sugya about whether Kohanim Shluchi Didan or Shluchi Drachmana. The Kamar Tashma, Tashma, Tuva, and it keeps bringing Raya after Raya. Every Mishnah we could shake out in all of Shas that will tell you whether it's Shluchi Drachmana or Shluchi Didan, the Gemara brings over there. So Tuva Hasam Lubasov Loivshita. And the Gemara can't draw a conclusion. It tries and tries and tries, can't come to any conclusion. Why don't we bring from Rav Huna ben Rav Shua over here? Rav Huna ben Rav Shua says explicitly over here that Hanikani Shluchi Drachmana, that they must be Shluchi Drachmana, and he has a hechrus to say that. So why don't we bring from Rav Huna ben Rav Shua? So he says Yeshlom, our first answer, that we don't want to bring a raya from Amoraim. The Gemara would much prefer to try to bring Brisas and Mishnayos. The Gemara wasn't looking for Amoraim, but Vayter and Tosos a few lines down. 10 lines down in the skinny line says, "V'linira de liyolam pshita lemi d'rav huna b'rei d'rav yishua d'shluchei d'rachman aninu." Ein achinami. Of course, the shluchei d'rachman aninu. Rav huna b'rei d'rav yishua is right. Diyisal g'ved shluchei d'don dafka aninu. Because if you can say that the shluchei d'don only v'lo shluchei d'rachman aklal mi kamidi, Rav huna b'rei yishua is a good point. If they're not our shluchim at all, then how could they do anything for us? If they are not the shluchei d'rachmana, how could we make shluchim for things that we ourselves can't do? V'hasam ibayilei ishluchi didan ktsas tahavlu shluchi drachmana vishluchi didan o shluchi drachmana dafka. He says we misunderstood the whole Gemara in Nedarim. The Gemara in Nedarim is not asking are they exclusively shluchi didan or exclusively shluchi drachmana. No. What the Gemara wants to know is are they also shluchi didan a little bit? That they're shluchi drachmana, are they shluchi drachmana exclusively, or are they shluchi drachmana and shluchi didan? V'halo matzi l'mifshah mid'Rav Huna. So that you can't answer from Rav Huna. Da'afilu shluchi didan nami havu mikrevi aval gavda anan lo matzina l'me'avid. So even if they're also shluchi didan, they would still be able to be makrev, even though we can't do it because kiven da'af shluchi drachmana, because they're also shluchi drachmana. So Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua. So he says it turns out Rav Huna ben Rav Shua's comment has nothing to do, will not make us an ounce of difference in terms of the situation of a neder hana, where you're not allowed to get hana from the kohen, because ishluchi didan dafka ninu ben ishluchi drachman and nami ninu asur b'mudra hana dekama hanilei. So either way it's going to be asur b'mudra hana because you're getting hana from him. Elenira de nafkamina, says the real nafkamina is what if a Bala Karban has a daya about which Kohen he doesn't want to use? I don't want that Kohen bringing my Karban. So if it's exclusively Shluchei Drachmana, so you don't have a say in the matter. They're Shluchei Drachmana, they're not working for you. But if it's also Shluchei Didan, so maybe he has a veto right. He has the right to say that he's not interested in a certain Kohen bringing his Karban. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara. Now, who Pari Shubocha Vein Par Shubochan? So we learned in the Mishnah that after they would give him this warning about doing everything properly, so everyone would walk away crying. Who parish abocha shechashtu tztuki? He would walk away crying because they were choshim that is tztuki. The aim portion of abocha, and Dom Rabbi Shimon Levi, kalachoshim b'ksherim loka begufo. They would walk away crying because anyone who's choshim b'ksherim is loka begufo. So, and they might have just been choshim b'ksherim because maybe he's not a tztuki. Where do we learn that a choshev b'ksherim is loka b'gufo? So Rashi points out, we learn it from Shemos, when Moshe Rabbeinu says about Klal Yisrael, Hein lo yaminu li, that Klal Yisrael is not going to believe me. Vine yadam tzaras kishelag, and he sticks his hand in his garment, and it comes out, and it has tzaras. So he's loka begufo, he suffers tzaras, because he was choshed b'ksherim, he was choshed in Klal Yisrael. So v'kol kach lama, so why do we have to go to such an extent to warn him this shavua not to do things incorrectly? Shelo yisakin mi b'chutz v'yachnis k'derek shat tztukin osin, because the tztukin would prepare the ketores outside and then bring it inside already prepared, so we don't want him to do that. We don't want him to prepare the ketores from Lochaf Naim on Yom Kippurim on the machta outside and then bring the full shovel full already with it inside. It happened once there was a tzduki that did this. He did the tzduki way of doing things. And when he was leaving, he was overjoyed. So he saw his father, and his father, who was a little bit older than him, said, "Listen, you know, even though we happen to be tzdukim, so we follow our tzduki traditions, we are terrified of the prushim. So you should maybe you should have satisfied their way of doing things." Amar lo, so the son said, "What are you talking about? What does the old man know? Kol yamei yisim etzara lemikraze. My whole life I was waiting to fulfill this pasuk. Ki ba'ana ne'ra'el ha'kaporis." That's the pasuk from where they learn that they should prepare it. It's already ba'anan that they go into the kaporis, that they should already prepare it on the outside. Amarti masa yava liyadi v'akaymenu. I always thought, when am I going to be able to do this pasuk? Whoever gets a chance to fulfill this pasuk the way we understand it. Achshav shabal liyadi lo'akaymenu. Now that I have the opportunity, what, you wanted me to pass up the opportunity because I'm afraid of some prushim? Amru lo hayu yamim what? It's amazing the language that we use. That's the language of Rabbi Akiva as he's getting martyred. I've always waited, Masai Kaimenu. Anu ratzim vehem ratzim. So that's right. Rabbi Akiva was running to serve the Ribbono Shalom, and they were running for other things. So amru lo hayu yamim what? Inat shemeis vuhutal ba'ashpa. But what the Gemara also probably meant to point out, what the Gemara is probably trying to do with that language is trying to show us how dedicated the tzdukim were. That the tzdukim were not, a lot of times people misunderstand. They think, they weren't so religious. The tzdukim were extremely religious. They were very, very dedicated to their cause. They were completely misguided, but they were extremely and most of the things that they did were chumras. It's not like they did this because they had this taiva to take it easy. It's not like nowadays where people who aren't so religious, because they're about taiva, they like to, it's much easier to drive on Shabbos than to walk on Shabbos, or to eat non-kosher than to eat only kosher. No, they most of the things they did were chumras. They were just totally messed up in their hashkafos. But most of what they did was chumras. They were very dedicated. So anyway, so I'm a loha young. It didn't take long for this guy to die, and he was left in a garbage dump, and there were worms coming out of his nose. V'yesha, meaning there's total nivel of his body. V'yesha b'tziyasun nigaf, and some say that on his way out he was already attacked. He was already punished. What happened was they heard a noise in the Azara. They heard a voice in the Azara. A malach had come and had hit him in the face. So the other Kohanim came in. And they found it looked like he was trampled between his shoulders by a calf, by a small cow. Shenemar v'raglayim regel yishar v'kafregel kafregel egel, because the pasuk tells us in Yecheskel when it describes the Merkava in the beginning Perek Aleph of Yecheskel, so it describes the malachim around that surround the Merkava, so it describes the malachim having regel yishara. That's why we stand with our feet together in Shemona Esrei, to have the one regel yishara, to have a straight one leg. But the kaf regel was like an egel, so it was the malachim had come to trample him because he did this. So I saw in Rav Zilberstein's sefer in Chashuk Echemet, he says the way he raises the shayla, he always tries to make it relate to a shayla. So he said the shayla was, you have a rabbi takes over as a rabbi of a shul, and he finds out that people are doing two very big averos. One big avero that a lot of people are doing is they're using razors to shave, and the other big avero that they're doing is that they're talking too much during davening. So which one should he give them musaf for talking during davening, or for the fact that they use razors to shave? So he says, it says in our Gemara that this Saduki was trampled by a malach. So, and by the way, so Shalom raises the kasha of the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says that no one's allowed into the Kodesh HaKadoshim when the Kohen Gadol is there. Even malachim aren't allowed in there. So this is for Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem made an exception, allowed it in. But in the Hamak Davar, in Vayikra, Perek Tezayin, on the Pasuk, Vayadabra Hashem, Losha Achrei, Moshe Nei Ben Aaron, Bekar V'Som Lefnei Hashem Vayamusu, that even though Nadav and Aviv died when they were brought in Eish Zara, or for whatever other reason, the Gemara gives many, and the Midrashim give many reasons, because those Lo Yeru'um She'emusu Miyad, why do they have to die right away? Anyone who does something that Yechayiv Misa for dies right away? The punishment is instantaneous? So says the Netziv, Al Zeh Bahadibur M'Pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Ki Bekar V'Som Lefnei Hashem Vayamusu. It's not that they sinned, it's that they sinned B'Platin Shel Melech Malchei Amlachim. It's that they Tafka chose to sin in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the punishment was so swift. The punishment was immediate. And then Moshe says the entire parasha. That's why it starts out with that prat that it was covered some of Nei Hashem to teach Doros Habayim that anything that's nogea to the parasha of Yom Kippur, anything that's nogea to the Ketores, anything that's nogea to something that you do Lefnei Hashem, the onesh is going to be very great. And he says, just like we have over here in our Gemara, that's why this guy was punished immediately. He couldn't even get out, and the Malach immediately trampled him. So says Rav Zilberstein, so we see a chet shaleit sonos u'dvarim b'telim beis ha-knesses is b'karva sam lefnei Hashem. So that's much worse than shaving with a razor. So it's probably most people would have guessed the other way, that shaving with a razor is much worse. So he said, no, much worse, because this is karva sam lefnei Hashem v'yemusu. Okay, Amar Rabbi Zachari ben Kavutal. So Rabbi Zachari ben Kavutal said as follows. So the Mishnah had quoted Rabbi Zechariah ben Kavutal. So Masnei Rav Chanan bar Rava L'chia bar Rav Kamei d'Rav Amar Rabbi Zechariah ben Kavutal U'machvi l'Rav b'yadei Kavutal. When Rav Chanan bar Rava was saying over our Mishnah, he said Kavutal with a pay, and Rav had to show him with sign language because that it was Kavutal. He tried to drew a base with his finger or something in the air to say no, not Kavutal, it's Kavutal. V'neim le memar. Why couldn't he just tell him? Why did he have to resort to sign language to communicate this idea? So Kriyashma Havakari, because he was in the middle of Kriyashma, so he couldn't speak in the middle of Kriyashma, so he had to sign it in the middle of Kriyashma. V'chei Gavna Mishari, wait, are you allowed to do sign language in the middle of Kriyashma? So this is how we get to the whole talking in the middle of Kriyashma. Are you allowed to do sign language in the middle of Kriyashma? Shmuel Bar Marta, Kriyashma Lo Yirmos Be'enav. You're not supposed to make motions with your eyes, V'lo Yikrots V'Sifsosav, nor with your lips, V'lo Yorabetz Bosav, and don't point to things with your fingers. A lot of times people try to communicate for whatever reason, for one reason or another, they try to communicate during shul, and they always think that it's okay to communicate as long as you're not saying words. So the Gemara says, no, explicitly, not with your eyes, not with your fingers, not with your lips, nothing during Kriya Shema. You have to be very careful not to be mafsik. V'tani Rav Lozor Chasma Omer, HaKoriya Shema Muramiz Beinov Makariz B'Sav Sosav Umar Be'etzbo. If someone does communicate in these non-verbal ways during Kriya Shema, HaKazav Omer V'lo Asi Karasa Yaakov, that you didn't call out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how was Rav allowed to in the middle of Kriya Shema say that it was Kavutal, or a sign that it was Kavutal, not Kafutal? Solo Kasha, Habi Perek Rishon, Habi Perek Sheni. Maybe the problem is only during Perek Rishon, during the first Perek of Kriya Shema, where you need a lot of Kavana, Vayu Advar Me'la Al Vavecha. But in Perek Sheni, in the second paragraph of Kriya Shema, maybe not so important. To avoid signing, you still can't talk, but maybe you're allowed to engage in nonverbal forms of communication. So as we're Tanur Rabbanan, now we have four drushes from the words v'dibarta bam. Number one, v'dibarta bam v'lo b'tfila. V'dibarta bam v'darshin, but not in tfila. What does that mean? So Rashi says she'esh kol hashmiya mashat hamotzi mipicha. When you're saying Shema, you should verbalize the words in such a way that you can hear them, you can hear yourself speaking, but v'lo b'tfila. Tfila should be belachash, as we learn from Chana, the kol lo yishama, that her voice wasn't heard. Tfila should be done quietly. If you look at Tosos says differently. Tosos says nearly bum shol mipnei ayira umeshiv mipnei akavod. It's only during Kriya Shema that we have a din that you can be shol mipnei ayira umeshiv mipnei akavod, but v'lo b'tfila. You can't do that during tfila. Da'amrin afilu melech shol b'shlomo lo yishivenu afilu nachosh karach al kevo lo yafsik. Even if a king greets you, you're not allowed to respond during tfila. Even if a snake is around your heel, you're not allowed to respond during tefillah. Kriya Shema, we're more mekel. So those are the two days. Says the Gemara further, v'dibarta bam yesh chol rishos l'daber v'lo b'dvar mecherim. You're only allowed to speak bam in them, but you're not allowed to speak in other matters. matters. One is not allowed to speak about other things. So Rash says, Sichas hayaladim v'kalos rosh. We're not supposed to speak about things that are sichas yiladim and kalas rosh, that are not appropriate topics of conversation. Rabbi Acha omer v'dibarta bam aseo son keva v'al ta'aseh marai. That v'dibarta bam means that we should make it keva and not arai. We should make our Torah learning more kavua and not just something we happen to do on the side. Amar Rava hasach sichas chulin over ba'aseh. Someone who speaks sichas chulin is in violation of a mitzvah. Shenemar v'dibarta bam. Bum v'lo b'dvar macherim, because we say v'dibar to bum and we learn bum and not in other things. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar over b'lav, that it's a violation of a lav to speak sichas chulin. Shemar kol dvar migeim lo yuchal ish l'daber. The Sfasemis raises the question: why do I need a special drasha to tell me not to speak dvarim b'talim? There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah b'chol eis b'chol rega. Every moment the person is able to speak, you should be involved in Talmud Torah. So why do I need a drasha to tell me not to speak dvarim b'talim? So the one possibility is in the Orchos Yosher, it says in the name of the Gra, Rav Zilberstein quotes, explains the Mishnah that counts off the 48 Dvarim Shatar Niknas Behem. So one of the things that it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is Miyut Sicha. So says the Gra, why is it Miyut Sicha? He says what it means to say is that it doesn't mean that a person should not speak, because you can go out of your mind if a person doesn't speak. If a person never has a normal conversation with other people, he's not going to be a well-adjusted person and his mind is not going to work properly. Your mind is only going to be able to Torah is nicknames. It's not just mir as opposed to meruba. It's mir as opposed to none. If a person doesn't engage in sicha, so he's not gonna be able to become a talmud chacham either. So he says. So maybe that's the. So when you are speaking about things that are in Torah, which is also okay once in a while, the Gra said like almost four words a year that were in Torah maybe. So when you're speaking about things that are in Torah, so then we need a special drasha to tell me that you shouldn't speak at least in Dvarim B'Talim. Okay. Let's stop there.